Oh, hi, I'm Sandy Isaac, co-executive producer.
Hey, I'm Sean Piller, executive producer and director of this episode. So here we are. I thought this episode turned out great.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I got so much music in my head right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, we can't hear anything, but I hope you're enjoying the episode. No, I thought this turned out to be a really great episode, and thought you did a wonderful job, Sandy, with the script.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. No, it was really, I thought it was a great balance of storytelling in terms of all the characters. We got some good stuff for Todd to do, and Gene, and Pablo, Chris, everybody was involved.
Well, also, I think you did a nice job directing.
Well, I think.
Elevated the material.
Thank you.
Start with the stuff on the page, and then the actors and the director have to interpret it and make it better.
Well, it's easy, and we're not kissing up to each other right now, but it's easy when it's a good script, and it's, you know, it all starts with the script, and then it just goes from there, and you just make all your choices and hopefully get lucky. This scene right here, we shot at the end of day one of shooting, and we were losing the light, and it was, I think, one of the faster scenes I had to shoot.
And Augie is named my son.
Augie is named his son. There you go.
So that's where I got that character.
Augie is Gary Stevens, famed and acclaimed jockey from the real life horse racing world. And he's retired now, but he was also in Seabiscuit. And he played that Toby Maguire's friend. He's a really, really good looking guy, really sweet man, really, really good actor. Just natural and not a lot of experience, but just brings it.
Yeah, this was also a nice scene because there's a lot of tension and no one really played to it. So it was the underlying conflict of Chris riding for the Davises and meeting her adversary who's going to ride Wildfire, and so it was handled nicely, and that friendly tension.
Right.
You know.
And that's, but it's important when you're directing, or when the actors are trying to figure out how to play scenes, it's important for the audience to know, and we set that up in the recap, that she's got this secret, that she's made this deal with Davis to save Pablo's life in episode 8, and that secret has to be carried on in the script and performed in a way that's illustrated for the actors to play and the director to know what to do. But the choices we made and the way we cut it was basically to really focus on Chris's little secret, and she knows something that everyone else in the scene doesn't know, and that's a big conflict for her between her and Gene. So there's all that subtext going on, which is fun to play.
And this character, Carrie Collins, the sports agent, has been really fun to write this year because he isn't your sleazy typical agent,
right,
and yet he has an agenda for Chris, and so it's been fun to play, to watch him maneuver in a unique way, because he's not like Arliss and he's not like Jerry Maguire, and
right,
he's not a guy that bangs down the door, yet he's gotten under her skin romantically, which is just, it's been fun watching them play that stuff.
Yeah, and he's this great, he's not so much an antagonist, but a spark that sort of slowly pulling her away from this family and opening her up to the new world, so and to, you know, future possibility of success and fame, and yet it's that push and pull we play with for the rest of the season. And Kieran Hutchinson is just a really good actor, and married to Nicole. Mm-hmm. They finally did their first scene together in this episode. They didn't have any lines together, but they improv some lines and just waved. We'll get to that scene and I'll show it to you. But they're married, they live together, they drive to work together in the morning, and they've never acted together until this episode. So I'm very proud of them. I actually gave them no direction. I said, okay, you guys stand here, and they were just the background, and I said, okay, now yell! Good luck, Chris! And I don't know if that was in the script or not, the good luck, Chris. Or see you at the finish line, or I can't remember.
No, I think that was an ad lib.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
And this is also a fun relationship we've been playing between Danny and her father, a guy who is a very complex, multifaceted. One of the things we've been working on is creating villains who aren't typical villains.
Yeah.
And which helped this is the direction of all our episodes hasn't played into any of that. Here's another example of yet another villain, non-villain, who makes a great entrance.
And I showed you, Sandy gave me a note. When we send out cuts, different cuts, the director's cut, the producer's cut, you get notes from other producers and writers. And in Sandy's case, he sent me a note saying he would really like to start on the inside of the with Junior opening the mail. And I had, for time, had played the whole scene on the car pushing and done it all as voiceover, and it was a great note to. I still played some as voiceover, so I sort of split the difference, and I think it really made the scene better, and it was still a short.
And this is a fun scene between these two guys, especially for a guy like Bobby, who at the end of last season was, you know, hitting the bottom, had a gun, and all this other stuff, and yeah. To watch him apologize is really fun, even though you know he's scheming. But he's also great as playing, not playing against type, but...
Right. He's just so likable, and he's so charismatic, and we love him. The network loves him. And Jason London, the actor, is basically just the sweetest guy, but just such an experienced actor. He's done so much, and just to come in and work with the other actors who are literally just starting out, he always elevates every scene he's in, and it's such a pleasure to direct him. I directed this scene. Actually, his hand in real life was broken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He showed up unexpected with a broken hand, and I had to write, we had to come up with lines about the hand, so that was
we basically,
it would have been nice to have a little warning, but Sean called to tell me, I'm like, he's got what?
I said, so let's write it in, maybe his, I don't know, he got in a fight with his wife, and then he wrote these lines, it was funny.
And plus, it was reversed, because the scene later at the bar was shot before this scene.
Right.
So then Sean said, oh yeah, we did this funny thing with the broken hand where he's shaking, he's in pain, so
right.
Then we had to write the history of the broken hand here,
right.
And
it was great. I love this end. This is a great line. This is my favorite one. So this scene we shot the last night up on my last day of shooting. This was my final scene that I shot, and I had very little time to shoot it, and I just basically did the whole thing on Steadicam. And this is after shooting the music video, which you'll see coming up, with Aiden Hawken. So basically I killed my B-camera Steadicam guy. That day he was literally on Steady all day long. By the time we got to that scene, he was just literally sitting down and just drinking water and like had his throat, was like trying to like take a nap between shots.
And for people who don't know what a Steadicam rig looks like, if they've ever seen Alien 2, those rigs, they have the machine guns mounted in, our Steadicam rigs, and it's an incredible art form because you're carrying a camera on a rig on your chest, and you have to balance your weight against the camera, which is steady, but every time you shift, it bobs.
It bobs, yeah.
And those guys, it should be an Olympic event,
Steadicam. So this Gene and Todd storyline I thought was really, really cute, and it ties into the mistake and secret Gene has about messing up with Charlie, sleeping with Pete. And it's always fun when we get to see Gene sort of be torn and have a secret and have play this internal stuff like Chris. You know, I always think of Gene and Jen are sort of the centers of the show, the two women, the matriarch and the young pupil that has come into the family. And they usually have the toughest choices to make, Gene and Chris.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just a really cute, subtle scene where she's trying to be cool and trying to, you know, be a good mom and be cool when all the men are gone. And it was just a great way to play that out. So this day and the opening scene in the teaser, since you block shoot all of your locations, this was the first day of shooting. And we shot all the Davis stuff and a couple Ritter scenes on the same day, and it was really windy, so literally we're gonna have to loop a lot of these scenes.
Now, did you shoot that first shot? How did you mount the camera? What was it mounted?
Basically, the way, you know, directing on TV is kind of like a moving, shifting jigsaw puzzle that you're creating out of basically chess moves. You strategize your day and you say, here are my two biggest shots, and you get your cameras ready, and then you kind of march in. There's different philosophies for each scene, but so what I did is I started off the scene while I was waiting for the actors to get ready, and I put one camera up on a ladder pod, which is basically a huge ladder with a camera on top of it, and then laid some track for this angle right here, and basically shot the whole scene from those angles so I can get the master, the wide, and the close, and then I charged in, and I had to get all that right before lunch, and basically the close-up scenes I shot.
This is also a nice move through the crowd.
Thank you.
It's really fun.
So,
it's also hard, you know, people don't realize is the choreography of moving through a crowd like this of extras is not so easy to do and make it look natural as opposed to the parting of the Red Sea.
Yeah. And so these the extras in the scene really have to be aware of what's going on. And again, it's you got your friend with the Steadicam moving through, and he's basically, you set up the shot and you say, this is what I want, and then he's got to be in there making it happen. And this band was great, and Aiden was great, and we ended up shooting this scene and reverse angles on the James Blunt scene from episode 5, where we didn't get enough extras on the day and the club was kind of small, so we ended up getting a stand-in body double, which was one of our crew members for James Blunt. We put him on stage and shot him from behind, so we got all the reverse crowd shots during my episode and with all the same extras. So if you look at both episodes, it's all the same extras, and we just changed out the band, and it just basically, it was after we had expanded the construction of the set and just made it bigger. So there's a scene coming up that I left in that I really liked, where that was just improv'd, where Jason London puts his arm around Ryan just in the middle of the scene when the camera came back, and he takes it off, like, and then I just kept it because I thought it was really funny.
This is also a fun scene because it's about the simmering tension of Chris riding for Danny and Jean dealing with this fear that everyone's leaving the ranch and she can't control it. And at the same time, Genevieve is such a great actress and dealing with her own guilt of doing this thing, and she's doing the right thing because she promised Danny, and but yet the core of it is the core of the show, which is Wildfire, which is her love for the horse, which is, you know, for the two seasons has been such a fun thing.
And you've got these two strong women with the secret, and they're separated by the couch, and ultimately Jean does the great thing by saying, you can tell me later, and they hug each other, which was an added thing. It wasn't in the script, but we just thought it was right, and we just went with it. It's a tough thing for Jean to be, you want her to be selfless and there for Chris, but she also has a business to run. And ultimately, we're always trying to make it clear that Jean puts family first. And it's hard when you have a business. You know, you got to make money and you have employees. And how do you put your family first if your job is the thing that's paying for your family to eat? And so she's always caught in that quandary.
This is a great, I love this hug. Yeah. So great. The most horrible, awkward hug. It's great.
Hug of awkwardness.
Yeah, it's really good.
So this was a fun scene to shoot. This was right before we ended this day, and we shot the junior scene at the diner. And this was the one day on the set that I sort of, my blood sugar was dropping, and I kind of snapped at my AD a little bit. It was, you know, and I'm very nice to the crew, and you know, but he, my partner, my producer, Gary Goodman, was there, and he kept pushing, we gotta go, you gotta, I'm like, we're gonna make it, it's fine, we'll be fine, we got a lot of things, we'll get this. And poor Scott, my AD, comes over, and I just was like, Gary, we're gonna be fine. And Gary, Scott, he goes, dude, we're gonna, I'm like, dude, I know, I've been told now 3 times, let's just shoot this, okay, let's not talk about it, let's shoot it. And Scott, who's like the nicest guy in the world, had never seen me kind of be flustered and lose it a little bit. And he's like, okay, let's roll cameras. And I was just like, oh. So I ran over and tackled him and gave him a hug. And I said, dude, I love you. So we just, we got the scene.
Yeah, part of the whole, the hardest thing about directing overall is that moment when you are going over, yet you know it's the right thing to stay on the scene because you don't have what you want.
Right.
Because you're only there one time. I mean, granted, you can do reshoots, but in a perfect world, you don't want to do reshoots. And so it's really about being, that's the moment when the director truly turns into the captain of the ship.
Right.
And it's like, it's my ship, sit down, row.
We're either going to sink or we're going to make it, but it'll be on me.
Yeah.
So we passed the scene where Nicole and Kieran had their first scene together. And here's sort of their second scene together, but they don't really talk. They don't have any lines together.
Right.
And at the top of the scene we just shot.
This is a nice shot through.
Thanks. In the reverse. I try to get lots of different angles of every scene and try to make it look like as much of a feature film as I can. I pretend I'm shooting a feature every week, and hopefully I can still make my days, which I pretty much finished early every day except for two days, which we were cleaning up some other shows and just giving pickup shots and stuff. But It was I had a blast, and the cast was amazing.
What was also too is Greg, who plays Pablo, he kind of lightened up for this episode, which is great, and it's something we've been working really hard in the last season and a half. He's a man of few words, but we're trying to just lighten him a little bit.
Right.
And so there's a really fun scene coming up with a shovel, and he's also smiling, and it's just giving another dimension to this character in this episode.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's been fun.
So that little improv line where he says, "Good luck, Chris," I just felt like we needed a line there. I was like, "Gary, say good luck, Chris." And he's like, "Good luck, Chris." Looked over at him, and we just shot it, and it ended up in the cut. And I wanted to give Chris a line, but I couldn't think of anything fast enough, and we were running out of time. I was like, "Okay, cut, moving on." So this was my favorite race of the year. Maybe because I shot it, but just you have this huge crash. And normally, our races take place at the end of the episode. And this episode starts with, literally, in the middle of the movie, you have this exciting race, and then really you have the aftermath and everyone reacting to this horrible thing that happens. So this was a combination of stock footage, our footage, and some other footage that we've stole from other episodes we've shot and or some other movie stock footage that we have.
And it's also very hard to integrate shoot stuff to match.
Yeah.
So this worked really nicely. It feels really seamless. You know, someday when we have $40 million an episode, we can shoot every race originally and choreograph the whole thing.
Well, I should say Clint Lilly shot second unit for me on this, and I knew I wasn't going to make my show if we tried to shoot everything main unit. And this is the crash I'm talking over. So we just decided to drop all the sound out of this sequence and really make it more surreal and make it all slow motion and try to just make it sort of emotional and expressive in terms of what would really happen if you were there and what it would feel like.
And it is amazing to see these trained horses who literally can do anything. I mean, it's just like these horses sit, stay, lie down, flip over, bake a cake, do income tax.
We're trying to give them lines. Season 3, we're going to give them lines.
Yeah.
That's the plan.